when was the last time you made a sales call? How did it go? When was the last time you made a sales call before that? How did it go? You ever notice a pattern if you don't make a sales call for a while that sometimes that sales call after a big gap in activity doesn't go so well? Well, hello, my friends. This is Mace Haroff. Welcome to the Medical Sales Guru Podcast and the Medical Sales Video Channel. And as you probably figured out, I'm here to talk to you today about what happens when there is a gap in your activity, when you're out there selling and then suddenly you get mired down in providing customer service or doing something else, and you don't get to make sales calls on a regular basis. You see, here's the thing. Medical sales requires a very high level of proficiency in industry knowledge, product knowledge, and yes, selling skills. See, all of these things degrade over time without regular use. And it's very, very insidious. In fact, this is just a condition of human performance. Anything that we don't use, any skills that we don't use on a regular basis, they degrade over time. And the example in medical sales, I already mentioned a moment ago. Let's say that you sell a type of product that requires a lot of customer service. Those of you that spend a lot of time in the operating room, you know exactly what I'm talking about. For example, if you work in cardiovascular or orthopedics, you spend a lot of time doing case coverage. And if you're very, very busy, if you don't have a support assistant to help you out, you could spend all your time for weeks just covering cases, and you don't have an opportunity to get out there and make the sales calls. Now, I know a lot of you are tempted to do the sales calls in the operating room, and some of you do that. You probably know my feelings about that. Trying to do a quick scrub sink sale is usually a bad idea, unless you're doing the scrub sink sale to sell the appointment, to give yourself enough time to really have a formal sales conversation so that you could get into the nuances of your product, really explore the customer's feelings so that it's productive and goes somewhere. But most people, when they think about a scrub sink sale, it's like they'll come up and they'll go, well, you know, hey, doc, you know, here's my product. I want to show it to you. It has these features, these benefits, these features, these benefits. Oh, you got to go start your case? Oh, I fully understand. And what they've done is given the doctor enough of a chance to have a very basic overview of their product, which is usually enough to do what? To say no. So what I'm talking about, getting back to the main subject, is that if you go periods of time without making a sales call, your selling skills are going to degrade. So what happens? Reps finally get, you know, have an opportunity to make a sales call. They're not busy covering cases or whatever it is. They haven't made one in weeks. And there is this feeling, this belief, hey, I know my product really well. I know the industry really well. And I'm good. I mean, I can think on my feet. I could go out there and just dazzle any doctor, nurse, healthcare professional I get in front of. Not a problem for me because I'm a pro. Here's the problem. Pros have performance issues if they don't practice those skills for a while. So let's say you have you go out and make that sales call. You haven't done it in a while. Did you ever notice that you might stutter and stammer, or you're not quite as fast or as smooth, or you don't know the right questions to ask? You don't handle objections as well. Or maybe you've experienced this situation. You've been focused on one product for a very long time, and suddenly you find out that there's a customer who's interested in one of your other products, but you haven't sold this product in a while. But that's okay. You knew the product because you sold it regularly a long time ago. So you go out, you get in front of the customer, and you're trying to recall things. I mean, and the mind is just a little bit slower because it's not as fresh as the current product that you've been selling on a regular basis. And lo and behold, what happens is that the sales call doesn't go as well as it could have gone. And this is a real problem because, again, this is just a characteristic of being human. Now, if you don't believe me, let me give you an example outside of healthcare. outside of medical sales. I'm going to give you an example that I love because it's near and dear to my heart. It comes from the world of aviation. Now, you know in aviation, or you might not know this, but pilots, airline pilots, they fly all the time, but they still have to demonstrate a level of proficiency on a regular basis. And it's not only that they're, they're extremely proficient in flying one type of aircraft, but if they get into another type of aircraft, it's a whole different ballgame. Even if the aircraft that they're getting into is a much less complex one than the one they're used to flying. And I'm going to give you an example from my own life. A couple of years ago, one of my neighbors, a professional airline pilot, flew 737s several times a week all over the country, the Caribbean, the Bahamas, Canada, Central America, a very proficient, longtime airline captain with a major airline. He bought a new personal airplane, a very, very simple single-engine airplane. And here's what happened. He bought the airplane, and just like a lot of professional pilots, you know, who are used to flying very complex jets, he had no fears or no concerns about flying this very, very simple airplane. But here's what happened. One day when he wasn't flying for the airlines, he came home and he was doing touch and goes in his new airplane that he was still becoming familiar with. And a touch and go is where you take off, you come back around the pattern, you land, you don't stop, you just basically touch and go. And what happened was during the touch and goes, as soon as he took off, when he was about 150, 200 feet in the air, his engine quit. Now, this is something that doesn't happen very often when you're flying an airliner, because number one, there are usually two or more engines on the airplane. And number two, in a jet aircraft, the airplane will fly very well on just one engine. So you lose one engine, not really a big deal because the pilot is proficient, they practice, they're trained to fly on that one engine. But in a single engine airplane, if you have one engine, obviously, because it's a single engine airplane, and you lose that one engine, what happens? You become a glider, which means you're coming down. Now, if you manage the situation, you can maintain control of the airplane and hopefully get it on the ground. The plane might be destroyed. You might run into some trees, power lines, or anything on the way down. But if you could get it on the ground in one piece, it's usually very, very survivable. Still a crash, but survivable. Well, here's what happened with this very experienced airline pilot. He defaulted to his intuition instead of his training because he didn't have a lot of recent training on flying a small single-engine airplane. When his engine quit at 200 feet, he tried to turn back to the runway. Now, if you're a pilot, you know that this is called the impossible turn, and it's called the impossible turn for a reason. From 200 feet, turning back to the runway, it's impossible. You're not going to make it. And what happened is when he turned back, in an intuitive response to wanting to get back to that runway, the aircraft stalled. In other words, it lost lift and it fell to the ground and crashed. The pilot, who was a neighbor of mine, was killed. Now you say, how can an experienced airline pilot, someone who is proficient in flying, he flies complex aircraft, why couldn't he handle a little single-engine airplane? And the reason was because he didn't have proficiency and current training in that aircraft. And you see, airlines, the airline industry recognizes this. Their pilots fly every week. Some of them fly almost every day. But if you're a captain, every 6 months, you go back to what's called recurrent training. This is where they put you in a flight simulator and they throw all kinds of emergencies at you to see how you handle them, to make sure you can handle them. And this is what keeps pilots current. This is what keeps the airline safe. And if you fly the airlines, this is what keeps you safe. Let's talk about medical sales. Now, medical sales, you might think to yourself, well, listen, if I don't make a good sales call, if my sales call doesn't go great, no one's going to die. And that's probably true. But you'll lose a golden opportunity. You see, a lot of times when you are selling a healthcare product to a healthcare professional, you only get one chance to make a good impression with that. Sure, you could follow up, but that first call, the way it goes, it cements the feelings, the thoughts, the emotions that the healthcare professional is going to have about your product. And you want to start off good so that you can expand it, so that you can eventually close the deal, schedule the case, get the order, whatever the case may be. But this can't happen unless that first case goes well. So what am I going to suggest to help you to do this? Well, there's basically two things. Number one, you have to review the essentials of healthcare selling. You have to do this on a regular basis, because if you don't, intuition is going to take over, just like it did for that airline pilot. And selling intuitively usually isn't good. Usually it's not going to be as strong. Your performance is not going to be as effective as it would be if you are really doing those things that maximize the influence that you have in the sale that allows the sale to move forward, the sale to advance. So you have to familiarize yourself with these concepts, because when you do it, you know, you're going to find yourself saying, oh yeah, right, wow, I forgot about that. Very important. I need to remember to do that. The other thing, and this is critical, that you need to do, you need to practice. And a lot of people don't do this. Here's something I want you to do. I want you to, right now, if you're driving, I want you to go and deliver a sales presentation to yourself on one of the products you haven't sold in several weeks, maybe one you haven't sold in several months. Start selling the product. See how it goes. Do it a second time. Do it a third time. Do it as many times as you have time for and as you feel like doing. I know this gets boring, it gets tedious, but what you're going to find is each time you practice that sales presentation, it's going to get better. You're going to be smoother. You're going to remember to incorporate elements that you didn't incorporate the first time out. And as a result of this, you're going to have a more powerful, more compelling sales presentation. Practice is important. Do you want to take it up to an even higher level? Practice with one of your colleagues, with one of your sales associates. Do role play. Now, here's the thing. I get it. Medical reps hate role play. I facilitate role play for a living. That's really what I do. I put people in role play situations that they dread. They hate it because I do it in front of all of their colleagues at a national sales meeting or at a training event. They hate it before they do it. But what they find is the first time they do it, it's pretty rough. The first time they do it, they find out where their deficiencies are. The second time they do it, it goes better. The third time they do it, they're performing usually at a competent level. And the fourth time, they are performing better than they ever have before. And the thing is, at that point, what they say is, hey, why don't we do more role play? This is what matters. Now, I'm not telling you to go to a national sales meeting or to wait till you go to a national sales meeting. You could get together with one of your other salespeople or your manager, or even someone who has an understanding of your product. Could be a spouse or a friend or even a child. And ask them to be the customer. Go through the role play situation. You're going to become that much better. You're going to become more proficient instead of going out there and thinking you could wing it because you have great skills. Let me tell you, as a pilot, when I don't fly for a while, I still think I'm pretty hot stuff. Until I get in the airplane and I have to shoot a difficult approach or there's a strong crosswind and it's not going real well. Now, knock on wood, in over 2,700 hours of flying, I've never bent an airplane. But I could tell you that when you practice and you rehearse those skills, it just goes so much easier. And here's the other thing. You have a much, much higher level of confidence, which is so, so important. Now, here's my biggest fear with going through all of this with you. You might be saying, this all makes sense, Mace, but, you know, the reality is, it doesn't work. And over the long time, it doesn't work. Zig Ziglar used to say, taking a bath doesn't last, but but you still should take one pretty regularly. You could say the same thing about diets. A lot of times people say, well, diets don't work. That's true. Why don't diets work? Because people, after they go on a diet and they lose the weight, what do? They revert back to their old habits and they gain the weight back on. Usually they gain more. The answer would be not to go on a diet for a temporary period of time, but to change the way you eat permanently, because then you lose the weight and the weight stays off. It's a total different outcome. I want you to think about your territory the same way. If you get into the habit of becoming proficient and maintaining proficiency, then it's going to be like changing the way you eat forever. You won't put the weight back on. You won't find a degrade or a degradation in performance. It works. And finally, reviewing and staying current on what's happening in your industry is important. Spend the time online. Use Google Alerts. Make sure you understand your industry, the specialty, and the healthcare professionals to which you sell to. And if you want to focus on medical selling skills, which, trust me, will give you a huge, huge advantage over your competitors, because probably like you, they're not spending a lot of time focusing on these skills. I invite you to do that. Check out Medical Sales Academy at medicalsalesacademy.com. It is my 24-hour, 365-day-a-year, 7-day-a-week program to get you sales proficient and to help keep you proficient and to give you the support you need to accelerate your business and to really excel at medical sales. It might seem like a big investment, but the return on investment is huge. Check it out. Join the legions of people who are really staying proficient in medical sales with Medical Sales Academy. That's all I have for this week's podcast. Thank you for joining me, because the fact that you were here shows that you want to be proficient, you want to be good, you want to make a difference, and you want to sell more. And that's a good thing. As you move forward in your medical sales career, don't forget that whatever you do, nothing is more important than the patient. The patient, my friends, always comes first. You are very blessed to have a career where you get to make a difference. Why are you still here? Get out there and make some sales calls so you can make a difference. For the Medical Sales Guru Podcast and the Medical Sales Channel, this is Mace Haroff. I'll talk to you again soon. Bye for now.